Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. Nice to see you kids. Alhamdulillah. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah.
It's very nice to see you kids. Do you know what the topic is today? You know what it is, right? Okay. Oh, yes. Do you know what it is? Topic? Okay. You teach them. Inshallah, I can go home, right? No, I'm just kidding. Alhamdulillah. It's very nice to see you kids. May Allah reward you. Alhamdulillah. They had a joke about somebody named Juha. Have you ever heard of Juha? You heard of Juha? He was a person, they say he lived in Turkey. So, what happened is, he was invited to give a khutbah, but he was very, very nervous to give the khutbah in the masjid. So the first week he went there, he went on the mihrab, and he told everybody, "Do you know what I'm going to give the khutbah about today?" And then everybody, they said, "No, we don't know what you're going to talk about today." So he said, "If you don't know, why am I wasting my time?" And then he left. He went home. So the next week, they invited Juha to give the khutbah again. So he went up on the minbar and he told the people, "Do you know what I'm going to give the khutbah about today?" Remember the week before, right? They said, "No, we don't know," and he went home, right? So what did they say this time?
No.
They said, "Yes, yes." So he said, "You know what I'm going to say? Okay, then I don't need to tell you. I'm going home." So the third week, he went back and he said, "Let me talk. They invited him to give the khutbah again." So he went up on the mihrab and he said to the people, "Do you know what I'm going to give the khutbah about today?" What do you think they said?
No.
They said no the first week, right? They said yes the second week, so they said they got a plan. Before Juha came, they said they got together and they said, "Half of us are going to say yes and half of us are going to say no. That way he can't leave," right? Did it work? Half of them said yes, half of them said no. So what did Juha say?
Yes.
He said, "The half of you that said yes, you know what I'm going to give the khutbah about, tell the other half who don't know what the khutbah is about, and I'm going home." It's a good plan. How are you doing, brothers? MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Walaikum salam. Very nice to see you, brothers. JazakAllah khair. Alhamdulillah. How are you doing, brothers? Good? Alhamdulillah. Yeah, so I was just talking to the brothers and the sisters here about there's a guy named Juha. You heard about him? No. So in any case, the topic for tonight, I think we were supposed to talk about the youth, right? Brothers of youth? The youth, are they important? Are the young kids, are they very important for us? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. The youth are very, very important. Why are they important? Who can tell me why youth are important? Yes, brother.
They're the next generation.
I don't agree with you. You know why I don't agree with you? Because they're this generation. Why do you consider yourselves so little that you're nobody now, you're going to be somebody in the future? You are the generation. You kids are the foundation of any of the community, right? Because the old people, are they strong like you? The elders? Always kids are the youth, they have energy, right? Shabab, you know the word shabab? Have you heard that word before? You know what Shabab means?
Young men.
I mean, yes, it means young men, but what does it mean literally? Teenagers? Shabba in Arabic, it means energetic. Having a lot of energy. And let me tell you something. You know, today we're Muslims, right? How did Islam reach us?
Parents.
Your parents. Okay, where did your parents learn about Islam from?
From their parents?
From your grandparents, right? And where does it go back to, all of this? To the Sahaba, right? To Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? From Angel Jibreel, right? From Allah. Right? So it's been passed on from one generation to the next, right? Do you know who carried the message in the beginning of Islam? Do you know who were the ones that like spread the message and went out to spread the message of Islam? Was it the old people? You don't. Do you know any of the young people around the Prophet ﷺ? You heard of Ali, right? Ali was a young man. Yes. Who was it? The four Khalifas. Yes. The four Khalifas. Ali was the fourth Khalifa, right? He was a young boy. He was one of the first people to accept Islam. And Ibn Abbas, Ibn Mas'ud, these were young people. The first person to be an ambassador for Islam, do you know what his name was? Yes. No. He was the first Khalifa. But who was the first person who was an ambassador who went to spread the message of Islam? Omar? Omar accepted Islam, but he didn't travel just for the sake of spreading Islam. There was a young man by the name of Mus'ab ibn what? Ibn Umair. Have you heard of him before? Mus'ab ibn Umair, he was a young, handsome brother. Okay, he wore like really nice clothes, and everybody in Mecca wanted to marry him, all the women, of course. They wished they could be married to him. He was rich, he was handsome. But what happened is he accepted Islam as a young man. His parents would lock him in the house, and he went. The Prophet ﷺ, when he accepted Islam, the Prophet ﷺ chose him to carry the message of Islam to Medina. Young man. And he was so successful, he spread Islam in Medina in a very big way, mashallah. A lot of people in Medina accepted Islam. This young boy. And when he died, did he have a lot of money? He was so poor, he didn't have enough clothes to cover his body. But he gave it for the sake of Allah. So you see how the youth had an important role in spreading Islam? There was one Sahabi, I think he was the brother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. There was a battle. There was a battle. Let me stand up here a little bit. There was a battle going on. And he was a little boy. Okay? And he would... You know how they used to carry swords in those days? What did they do with them? Did they have... They used to have a rope. They would tie it around their neck. Okay? So this Sahabi, his sword, he was a young boy. He was the brother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. His sword was dragging on the ground. Because he was too short, he was a little kid. So he put the sword on him and was dragging on the ground. So you know what he did? He wanted to go out for the battle, for the sake of Islam. So he started standing on his tippy toes. So when the Prophet came, he thought that he wanted him to think that he's tall enough that he can go out and go to the battle. See how much eagerness he had to be with the believers? He was so eager to be with the Muslims that he would stand on his tippy toes. So that the Prophet wouldn't say, hey, you're too short, go home. Would any of us do that today, you think? Well, I hope we would, inshallah. I hope that we would have that spirit of love spreading Islam. So those Sahaba, those young kids, they are the backbone of the Muslim community. Hmm? They're not the next generation. They are the backbone of our community because they are the ones that have the energy to spread the message of Islam. And they also have the minds to learn. They have the ability to understand. That's what a lot of the young Sahaba they had. You know, did you ever hear about Aisha, girls? Sisters? You heard about Aisha, right? Was she smart? Did she narrate a lot of hadith? How many hadith did she narrate? Anybody know? Yes, you know? 2,000, you got it, brother, mashallah. She narrated over 2,000 hadith. Can you imagine that? She was so knowledgeable that the men would come to her and they would ask her from behind the veil, they would ask her fatwa, ruling, and the women too. You see how knowledgeable she was? So that shows you that, and she was young, she was only... She was a young girl. When the Prophet passed away, she was just a teenager. She had so much love her knowledge that she spread in an area that all these things. So the knowledge that reaches today, it came to us from the youth. A lot of the knowledge that we have today came to us through the youth. So this is the role that you kids have, inshallah. The role that you kids have. But let me ask you something. What are the challenges that you kids face as Muslims? What are the things that make it hard to move? How many? You don't have any challenges at school? Like, is it easy to be Muslim? Yes? Praying. Okay. Praying is one of the challenges that you have. Okay, that's true. Because what do people say when you pray? What do people say about it? Where do you have a hard time praying? At school? Not at school. Just praying in general. Okay. Well, praying is a very good, a great act that Allah loves so much. If you learn about how much reward you get for praying, inshallah, you'll love it more. Because Allah loves you when you pray. But it's a challenge, you're right, because we're always busy. We always want to, we have other fun things we want to do. Why should we take time out to pray? Isn't that right? We feel like, oh, I have so many other things I want to do. I want to see what my friend's status message is on Facebook. I'm wondering what's he up to today, right? So you don't have time. You want to do these other fun things. So I got to take out time for prayer. Is that a waste of time when you pray? Is it a waste of time? What do we get out of our prayer? We get rewards for the next life. Do you find any benefit in this world for praying? Before you die, do you get some benefit in this world? What do you benefit from when you pray? Yes.
How do you go?
Yes, brother. And there you go, brother. There, you got it, brother. Kick it. When you pray, Allah is the controller of the universe, right? When you go to do your tests, you go to your exams, do you want to rely on your own self, your own memory, or do you want Allah's help with you? If you have that connection to Allah, Allah will help you in your most difficult times. That's why prayer is so relaxing. When you have that salah, when you have prayer, it makes your life easy. Because how many people, they go to take that test, they were staying up the whole night? What do they call that? Cramming, right? You cram the whole night, and you go to the test, and what happens sometimes? Your mind goes blank. That's what happens sometimes. Now, if you were trusting yourself that, I'm so smart, I'm going to get an A on the test, you're going to be devastated. But if you're trusting in Allah, at that moment when your mind goes blank, are you going to throw your hands up and start crying? You know what you're going to say? Oh Allah, help me to do this test. And Allah will help you. No matter what happens, you have Allah with you. If Allah is with you, then nobody can be against you. Right? Allah is at your side, you're never alone. You never feel alone. You have Allah with you. So prayer, it gives you that feeling that, not that feeling, you have Allah's help. And this is why the Prophet says in peace, to love to pray. He used to say, to be loud, Arishkana, make it easy for us. Bring us relaxation. Because our souls, our hearts love to pray. But what happened is because of all this, the all the media and all the things around us, we got so busy with trying to, you know, do fun things that we think that prayer is tedious and boring. But once you realize that praying is something that Allah wants from us, and He's so happy when you do it, you will find much pleasure in it, inshallah. What's another challenge that the youth are facing? Yes, brother. Yes, go ahead. What's your name, Ati? Yes, right here. What's your name? No, don't say. Mahdi? Yes, Mahdi. What is the challenge that you face at school? Or in general? Girls!
parent, nobody's around, right? No adult. And girls, of course, the problem is the boys, right? This is a natural inclination that Allah has given human beings. That's how we get married and inshallah we have children. But this is a very serious issue to deal with. It is definitely a very serious issue to deal with. Because we see a lot of, in society now, everybody has a girlfriend, all the guys have girlfriends, right? So you're the only one who don't have a girlfriend. The girls, they all have friends, boys that they talk to, online, right? So, what does Islam teach us? Stay back. What is the Prophet that can tell the advice to the young men? You know the advice he gave them?
Lower your gaze.
No. He didn't say that. Yep. Yeah?
Lower your gaze.
No, he didn't say that first. He gave an advice before that. He said, "All young men, whoever amongst you is able to get married, then let him do so." So the Prophet, he knows, he's given us the best advice. Right? When a person has a girlfriend, is that true love that will last forever?
No.
It's just a temporary pleasure, temporary joy, enjoyment. And then it's gone. It's meaningless. It doesn't have true happiness in it. In fact, it's only sadness. Because that is not based on something that is meaningful, like your worship of Allah. When you get married and you have a family and have children, does Allah love that? So when you get married, does that bring you closer to Allah?
Yeah.
Absolutely. When you get married, it should be an act of worship. If you think that I'm doing this so that I can make Allah happy, your marriage to the girls for your husband, the boys, your marriage to your wife should be an act of worship. Because it's keeping you away from haram. Keeping you away from doing haram. So yes, it's a big test. It's a very big test for us as Muslims. When we have the girls at school and the boys at school. So how do we deal with that? What should we do? We already talked about getting married young. As early as you can. I know most of you are in high school, middle school, not time yet to get married, but still getting married young is an encouragement from Prophet Muhammad. What else is that the Islam teach us to do? Yeah? Does anybody know? What else are we supposed to do if we are tempted by the opposite gender? What did the Prophet tell us? He said, if you can't get married, then what should you do? Should fast. Fasting. You know, everybody's fasted in Ramadan before? Fasting, it helps a person to lower their desires. So it's something that we should try to, we can do. If we can't get married, we should try to fast. Because it's a training for us to control our desires. Yes. And what happens when people, they do that relationship outside of marriage? Is that something that produces children and is something that people are proud of? Usually it's something people are ashamed of. Because having that relationship leads to children. And having children without a marriage and without a family, is that good for society? That's something really bad. Because the child will grow up without his father, not even knowing who his father is sometimes. That's what you see in this society. You know, Prophet Muhammad says that one time a young man, probably your age, Mahdi's age, he came to the Prophet and he said to Prophet Muhammad, "O Messenger of Allah, I love Islam, but I want you to allow me to do the zina, to have a girlfriend there." So what do you think Prophet Muhammad did? Did he choke him and say, "How could you do that?" He reasoned with, he taught him compassionately, kindly. He was so kind to him. He said, my brother, he brought him close, and he said, "Do you have a mother?" He said, "Yes." He said, would you want somebody to do that with your mother, to have a girlfriend with her? She said, no. He said, do you have a sister, an aunt, a daughter? He said, yes, I have a sister, I have an aunt. Do you want somebody to do that, have a relationship, and then leave her the next day? He said, no. So he said, the same way you don't want that for your sister or your mother, other people don't want that for their daughters or their sisters or their mothers. It's not beautiful. It's something that is harmful. So he said, that makes so much sense. And the Prophet put his hand on his heart and he prayed for him to purify his heart. He said, oh Allah, purify his heart. And so the young man, he left and he said, when I came there, I was so eager that I wished I could have do the impermissible relationship. But he said, when I left, I hated it more than anything else. Because he made him realize that that's not something that is beautiful. It's something really harmful to us. In the end, we will be the ones that are harmed. Allah, He wants good for us. He wants us to be happy. He's our creator, right? Does Allah want bad for us? Who thinks that Allah wants good for us? Everybody should be. Yes. Allah, He taught us Islam to make us happy. I know you probably think Islam has so many restrictions, right? Is that how you feel? No freedom? Girls, can you show your hair? No, right? Boys, can you, you can't have a girlfriend, right? So does that feel like a lot of restrictions, right? But actually, Islam, it doesn't restrict us. It makes things good for us. It gives us what's wholesome, and it prohibits what's harmful. Let me ask you something. If you kept eating and eating cake, or brownies, or candy, what kind of candy bar is it? Snickers? If you ate so many candy bars that you were like, you know, say you ate 100 Snickers bars, would that be good for you? That would be good for you, 100 Snickers bars? You would have a really thick, you know, upset your stomach, right? It's not healthy, right? So, huh? Overweight, right? Like me, right? But if you eat a little bit, enough that makes taste good and you don't get sick, do you consider that limiting your freedom? No, that's actually good for you. That's to make you happy. If your parents say, go ahead, take this candy, but don't eat too much candy. Eat some other food too. You know, eat something healthy, then that will make you happy in the end. They want your happiness, right? Same thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He guided us to what is halal and haram so that we would achieve happiness in our hearts, in this life, in the next life, spiritually and physically. Allah wants good for us. He prohibited pork. Why? Pork is very harmful, right? And it's filthy animal. Good. So when you say Allah made pork haram, I don't have freedom, I want to eat pork. Is that true? That's what a non-Muslim person would think. But as a Muslim, you see how the prohibition of pork is good for you? Yes. Right, girls? Wearing the scarf. Do you think that's a restriction on your freedom? Do you want... Is it right for other people to use a woman, not for her knowledge or for her character or her behavior, but just to use her as an image? Is that right? Is that respect for women? Is that dignity? Is that nobility? No, Islam wants to honor the woman, to make her something so special that she's not just something that people look at. You see how everything in Islam has a benefit. It's for our own good. It's not restricting our freedom. It's actually making us happy, inshallah. Any questions, anybody? I don't want to talk too much. Anybody have any questions? Yes, go ahead. Don't be shy. Kids, anybody have any questions? Alright, let me tell you one more thing and then I'll let you go, inshallah. Internet. We talked about, I don't know if you were here, but I was talking about internet with the adults. Is internet good for you?
Yeah.
Yes? Homework? That's all you do on internet? Homework? All right, you have to do an essay on, you know, on, you have a homework assignment. What do you do? Google it, right? Whatever the question is, and then you got the answer, right? That's not, that's true. There's, you can get knowledge from the internet, it makes your homework easier. But there, is there harmful things on the internet?
Yes.
What's harmful?
Like, if you go on social media and stuff, and you put it, like, public.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah.
Social media, what do you mean, like Facebook
like
or Twitter?
Today, Facebook.
What's wrong with, what's bad about Facebook? Who can tell me? Yes, all your information is, everybody knows everything about you. Yeah. What else? Yes. Weird people, yes.
Video games
is bad? I'm surprised to hear that from you. What's your name? Huh?
Sharif.
Video games are bad? Are they all bad, or they can be bad if you misuse it? All bad, huh? Well, yes. Video games, if you could have better things to do, yes. Okay. So you can set your privacy settings, right? Okay, that's a good advice. Okay, yes. Huh? Cyberbullying. Okay, yes. These are really bad things that are on there. Yes. What else? What is it? Backbiting. Good. You kids know a lot. I don't even have to give a talk. You kids can give a talk. You named everything. Yes. Anything else bad on it? Yes. YouTube is bad. What's good then? Me too? Make videos about yourself? What is bad about you? Bad trend. What's your name?
Popular.
Amina got hit the hammer on the nail. The nail on the hammer, right? She said there's bad videos and pictures on the internet. Wow. Who didn't know that? There's a lot of bad stuff on there, right? A lot of bad pictures. Personally, I don't even... YouTube, what do you see on the person you go on? Pictures of clips of movies that are not really appropriate, right? So yes, this is something that we have to be mindful of. Kids, you have a big role. I guess who else had that? Yeah?
Ed?
Yeah. Very cool, my goodness. Okay, should I repeat what you said? I won't repeat it. Boy, did you hear that?
No.
You want to say it again?
Don't say it.
I won't use the same word she used. I'll use a different word. Unclothed people. Yeah. Is it a big problem or a little problem? You tell me.
It's a huge problem.
It is. So what do we have to do? Yes. All of those bad things are there. All right, kids. So what do we have to do then? When you go on the web, I'll give you this one advice, inshallah, that is the best advice. One advice. Always remember who is watching you.
Allah.
Always remember that. Just know that Allah is watching you. Go on the internet, go wherever you want, but always remember, just remember one thing. Allah is watching you. Allah is with us, inshallah. Okay, kids, so you know your job now, right?
Yes.
You kids you are the pillars of this community. Because you are the ones who are going to carry the message of Islam. That's how Islam reached us today. It was the youth. They went out, and when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, he sent a 16-year-old boy to lead an army to fight the Persians. His name was who? Bonus question. Who was the name of the young Sahabi when the Prophet ﷺ was passing away? Starts with Alif. There was a young Sahabi, the Prophet was 16 years old. He led an army to fight the Persians, and he had people like Omar behind him under his rulership, under his leading. You know who that was? Osama ibn Zayd. Osama ibn Zayd. Yes, all those people, and he spread, he went and he fought the Persians and he spread his honor. 16, who's 16 here? Anybody? Yeah, could you imagine that? Anybody 16 over here? Yes? So, you kids have a very important, you are the leaders of the future. You are the people who convey this message, inshallah. So be proud of yourselves. Okay? Be proud of your religion, inshallah. You are the most important youth in this whole city of Sacramento. Right here, the kids sitting here. You are the most important. You know what tonight is, right?
Yes.
What is tonight? Friday night. Where are the kids? Where are most of the kids? What are they doing?
Playing.
Bad things, right? Movies, and going out, doing bad things, right? You kids right here are the most important kids in Sacramento. Why? You know why? Because you're listening to the Imam, you're learning the knowledge, you're learning the message from Prophet Muhammad, you're carrying the message, inshallah, whatever you heard today, you convey it to your friends and family, inshallah. No? So you kids are very special kids. May Allah bless all of you, inshallah, and thank you for listening to me, inshallah. Anybody want to say anything? Brothers? Anybody want to say anything? Open mind.
Go ahead.
Anything else? Okay, so may Allah reward you.